This is Building Bridges, hosted and produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, joining the line against unemployment.
And now, TWU Local 100 elected officials and community supporters called on the MTA to use nearly $500 million in its GASB 45 fund to restore services cut in 2010 and to rehire 120 laid-off station agents and settle a fair contract for 38,000 TWU Local 100 members. According to MTA budget documents, the agency holds approximately $489 million in a reserve fund called the GASB 45 Fund.
Since 2006, New York City's Metropolitan Transportation Authority, the MTA, has been depositing tens of millions of dollars every year in this account. Even in 2010, when bus and subway services were reduced or eliminated altogether, the MTA stashed money away instead of drawing from its reserve fund to avoid service cuts. Local 100 and the Occupy Wall Street Labor Outreach Committee protested outside the MTA headquarters on Madison Avenue recently before an MTA board meeting. Here's what happened.
MTA can pay! Bring them back now! MTA can pay! Bring them back now!
Maurice Jenkins, Vice President for its Station Department of Transport Workers Union, Local 100.
This is about the MTA keeping two books again. They have money on the books right now, the GASB funds. The GASB funds was created 2007. In the 2006 contract, we were taking out money dedicated for retirees' benefits health-wise. Well, the money that they took out was a lot more than they needed. This excess funding is over $500 million as we speak. They can utilize this funding to the operating budget. The problem lies with their denial and their not wanting to do that, just as when in 2010 when they had these massive service cuts and layoffs, $50 million could have averted that. They had the $50 million then in two different areas. They had these GASB funds at that point, and they also had money coming from the federal government as the stimulus funds. They still are refusing to do this. What we're asking right now is that they do what the city is doing. The city has the same type of funding, but they're taking their funding and using it for operations. There's no reason for the transit system to hold on to this money. Essentially, if they're taking it from us, it belongs to us. And we want the riding public to take a part in this too. We want service restored.
How many station agents are still laid off?
It's 135 now. Station agents still laid off, right, as we speak.
And how does this impact services?
In a drastic way. Let's look at it like this. In the last 4 months, station agents have saved 3 lives. So if we'd had those extra bodies there, maybe some of these 12 nines, which are people who jump on the trains, could have been averted. Eyes and ears are always better than cameras.
And a lot of them made about the interest being paid to the banks. MTA is heavily indebted to the banks. How does this impact on services?
It impacts it in a negative way because the more money that they have to pay the interest, the less money that they can put into the operating fund. The operating fund is essentially what governs services. Not capital improvement, but operating. We've had dedicated funding. We have to keep that dedicated funding. But they have to utilize that funding more frugally. The money that they spend on 2nd Avenue is ridiculous. There's no end to it. And at what price? What price? The public has suffered severely for them building this rat hotel under 2nd Avenue. Yes, we have overcrowding in a system that's tripled in the last 15 years. But there have to be other solutions. And that solution is not to cut service with the illusion of creating better service. I believe that we should better utilize that which is in operations and not take away from operations to improve the capital spending program.
And what's happening with negotiations?
Right now, we're still talking. We're trying to find common ground, mutual ground. We want what's fair. And I think if they're holding over $500 million in a separate fund, it would be fair to reinstitute service and to give us a fair wage increase. We're not asking for much, but the riding public too. There has to be more transparency. Continually we find out that they're hiding, they're creating illusions, and it has to stop.
And I've been talking with Maurice Jenkins, Vice President for the Station Department of Transport Workers Union, Local 100.
Restore service now! Restore service now! Restore service now!
Restore service! Bring them back!
And I'm with...
My name is Brenda Edwards. I'm unemployed right now, but I'm a union member for MTA.
Are you one of the laid-off station agents?
Yes, I am. I'm one of the 120 laid-off station agents. It was 500 laid off, but I'm the 120 that's left.
The rest have been called back?
Yes, they have.
And where did you work?
Vacation relief, working in the booths, relieving people when they go on vacation. So I go to different stations every week. I would go to a different station for any station agent that was going on vacation. I would do their job.
And how do you think this affects the public?
Oh, it affects the public very bad. The older people, you know, they have to cross over from different stations to buy Metro cars, go up and down the stairs. It's a shame that there's no token booth clerks in the booth. Sometimes the machines aren't working. You know, they need to get changed. They need to ask questions how to get places, and they have nobody to talk to. It's very dangerous also. It's very dangerous at night, people walking around with nobody in the booth to talk to.
And do you think the FTA has the money to rehire 125 station agents?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They have the money. They definitely have the money.
And what's your personal situation been? How long have you been laid off?
I've been laid off. May would be 2 years. May of this year would be 2 years I've been laid off.
And how are you coping?
Oh, it's bad. It's terrible. Can't pay my bills. You know, medical is not good. It's just really sad. When I walked over here, I started crying, you know. It's really sad. It's hard. It's hard to manage. We need our jobs back. We need our jobs back.
You on unemployment?
Yes, I am. Yeah. And every minute, you know, they're getting ready to stop it, getting ready to stop the unemployment. It's very sad. Can't make ends meet.
How many weeks you have left?
Right now, this is my last week. This is my last week, really. This is really my last week.
Okay, let's do something about that, okay?
Yes, yes. Yes, we're going to do something about that. We're going to keep on and keep on till everybody's back.
We sure are. Thanks so much, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bring them back now! Bring them back now! Bring them back now! Bring them back now!
And I'm with Jackie DeSalvo, Labor Outreach Committee, Occupy Wall Street. Jackie, what was the role of the Labor Outreach Committee in setting up this demonstration?
We met with the TWU. And we agreed to support their three demands for restoring service, rehiring the laid-off workers, and negotiating a fair contract. And we're going to join with them in an ongoing campaign around these issues because we believe that, first of all, the MTA has the money. It's socked away unnecessarily in a fund. And we also know that they have negotiated very unfair contracts with the big banks who made off like bandits while the MTA took losses. And we think that they should not be signing these kind of contracts. They should renegotiate these contracts, that the banks, which are the 1%, have been getting richer and richer, and the people have been getting poorer and poorer.
As we're here, there's still about 125 station agents who have been laid off. What can be done for them?
They should be immediately rehired. They've been laid off almost 2 years, and not having station agents in the subways creates a safety problem for the riders as well. So we feel that at Occupy Wall Street, we represent both riders and workers, and that we feel that the riders should be supporting the transit workers because it is to their benefit to have a full workforce in the subways.
And tell me more about the Labor Outreach Committee.
The Labor Outreach Committee was formed the first week of the occupation of Zuccotti Park because some of us come from unions. I'm from the PSC CUNY, the faculty uni and staff union at CUNY, and we felt that the strength of the 99%, a lot of it lies in organization of unions. So we felt we could bring some unions together. Over 40 unions are represented by our membership. We have like 150 people who have signed up with the Labor Outreach Committee, and we have hundreds of people on our listserv. And Occupy Wall Street has been, through the Labor Outreach Committee, has been supporting a lot of workers' struggles. We've been involved in the fight at Sotheby's for months. There was a demonstration between the Labor Outreach Committee and the Arts and Culture Committee at the Whitney Museum, which is very closely tied to Sotheby's. We've been supporting the phone workers, the postal workers, and we feel that these different unions have got to come together and support each other, and they do come together in the Labor Outreach Committee.
And how can people get in touch with the Labor Outreach Committee?
They can email me at jdesalvo@nyc.rr.com, and they can go to the Occupy Wall Street website, which has a labor outreach website, and that's at nycga.net.
Jackie DeSalvo, Labor Outreach Committee, Occupy Wall Street. Thanks so much. I'm here with one of the laid-off workers. Tell me your name, please.
Linda Harrison.
And how long have you been laid off?
A year and a half.
You were a station agent?
Yes.
And where did you work?
I did vacation relief, so I went to different stations, different weeks. I relieved station agents when they were going to lunch, so I just gave them the breaks every half hour, went up and down the line on whatever, you know, wherever my assignment was for, the D line, the B line.
And what do you think the effect on the public is of agents laid off?
Well, a lot of people are complaining because going into the booths, there's no one there, and people are afraid to go, and yet there's no one to talk to. If you have a problem, they're telling you to push a button. There's no immediate action to it, so it's kind of hard. The public is complaining that they would like to have people back in the booths.
And what's been your personal situation over the last year?
Personally, it's been a financial hardship. There's no jobs. I've signed up for unemployment agencies, and the agencies, they have no work for you. So we're stuck with unemployment, and they're telling us to go to work, and there's nothing, you know, no jobs out there for us to go to.
And what would you like to say to Chairman Loda if he was here right now?
I would like my job back. We know that they have the money. He knows that they have the money, so to give us our jobs back. I would like to go back to work and just to keep us safe and to help our communities, because us not having work, we're living in the community, so we're not able to financially support our communities the way that we need to support our community and help our families the way we need to help our families.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you.
And I'm with Charles Jenkins, who's the Director of Organizing for TWU Local 100. What brings us out here this morning?
The MTA monthly board meeting is transpiring today at about 9:30. We felt that it was important to come out and do a press conference on some very important issues. We're here to raise the question of the MTA can pay. We want the MTA to restore services that was cut in 2010. We want the MTA to bring back laid off workers and then settle a contract with the transport workers unions that has been without a contract since January 15th of this year. We believe the MTA can pay, and we're going to be raising our voices at the public hearing right now.
There's been much said about the amount of money that the MTA, the interest that it is paying to the banks versus the amount of revenue that's coming in. Is too much being spent on paying back bank loans?
No question. The MTA is paying back their loans at a much higher rate today currently than if they renegotiate with these here big 500 corporation banks, that they will be paying less. That money that can go back into their capital projects and ultimately back to the riding public.
Is the MTA being underfunded by the state? I mean, do they need more public funds?
More public funds are needed. We have been making that case in Albany, then on a national level down in Washington, around public transportation. Public transportation gives growth to a city. Mass public transportation, getting people out of their cars and onto public transportation, is a way to keep this here economy greener. And we say that on a state level as well as on a national level, you know, public transportation should be funded.
Okay, you're going to go into the hearings right now?
Yeah, we're going into hearings. I believe we've been out here for about an hour. Tremendous amount of public support. Yeah, we're getting ready to go as Local 100 members, joining with public groups. Occupy Wall Street is in support. Occupy Wall Street comes. Occupy Wall Street is big advocates of public transportation. And so they're all for supporting this here whole campaign that the MTA can pay, and you're going to hear their voice as well, raising our voice around the issues of returning 120 laid-off workers.
Thanks so much. We're talking to Charles Jenkins, Director of Organizing for TWU Local 100.
Well, indeed, the MTA can pay. They've got at least $489 million to bring those workers back and to settle this contract with the Transport Workers Union Local 100. And now we're going to speak with Arthur Chiliotis, president of the Communication Workers of America Local 1180, and he's going to discuss the line. Tell us about this dramatic, creative way of lifting up the issues of the 14 million not to mention those who've dropped out of looking for a job, but the 14 million unemployed. What's happening, Arthur?
We're part of a larger group, which really had done a similar thing during the Republican Convention here in New York in 2004. There was a line that, for the unemployed, that ran from the Bull up Broadway to the Garden, where the Republicans were having their convention. Well, we think that the Congress, especially on this.
Well, wait, let me make sure I visually understand this. So there's a line of people that are going to extend from where to where?
From the Bull down on Bowling Green to Union Square.
And they're going to be holding what?
Pink slips. And we're going to do it at 8:14 a.m. We're going to do it for 14 minutes, signifying 1 minute for each million unemployed in the United States. And we're demanding that Congress support the president's jobs plan, and that we put people back to work.
And where are you going to be?
I'm going to be on the corner of Broadway and Chambers, between Chambers and Reed Street. Our local was designated that block. We asked for it, and we will be organizing there. We've got over 30 people expected, probably will be over 50 by the time our call to all our members is made this evening. We're phone banking it right now.
And let's dive into the issue of the significance of the line. We know that you said that it was 1 minute for each of the 1 million currently unemployed Americans. Flesh that out for us a bit more. What is this symbolic of? What are really the substance of the issues behind this line that are going to be demonstrated? All of us who are going to be down there linking arms and holding the pink slips.
The problem is the invisibility of the unemployed in the political discussions that are going on today. Again and again, what we see is that these issues to get people back to work is not high on the priority of corporate America or the Congress, for that matter. And that we need to change the terms of the debate. We need to make sure that, you know, a line of 14 million people would stretch from Portland, Maine, across the borders of the United States all the way to Seattle, Washington, down the Pacific coast to San Lucas, across to Miami, and back to Portland. And that would be 14 million people standing shoulder to shoulder around the borders of the United States. A lot of people have been impacted by the economic decline caused primarily by Wall Street. And it's time that this nation focus on its people and not on the 1%.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the cities aren't being funded correctly.
Of course. Public workers, there have been over 400,000 layoffs of public workers throughout the nation. And one economist describes the governors of the states throughout the nation as little Herbert Hoovers, that the reaction to the economic decline was lay people off. Well, this is the time you should be hiring people, not laying people off. The question is, how do you pay for it? Well, you pay for it by taxing the rich.
And what do you say?
Pay for it by the people that have done so well.
And what do you say to people who say, wait a minute, the government doesn't create jobs?
Government it has always been the creator of jobs because the private sector is only looking to create profit. Its agenda is not creating jobs. Its agenda is not the interest of the American people. It's the interest of their shareholders. Only democratically elected government is concerned with the welfare of the people. And that'll only happen if people play an active role in politics. And so here we are, Super Tuesday, an important hurdle for the Republican candidate. Yet the talk about unemployment has been minimal at best, and there is no talk about the jobs program that the president has put forward because they don't have an alternative to that.
So
their idea is tax cuts and deregulation. That's all they know how to say. It comes out of their mouths just like parrots. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable indeed, or too believable at this point.
Right.
8:14 to 8:28. 14 minutes, 1 minute for each of the 1 million currently unemployed Americans, not to mention those who have lost their jobs in the last 5 years and the 10 to 15 million people who have given up hope of finding a job. Where should we go again, Arthur?
All along Broadway, from the Bull down at Bowling Green up to Union Square.
And we've been speaking with Arthur Chiliotis. And we're going to see you somewhere along Broadway and stand for our sisters and brothers who are unemployed for the creation of jobs, putting America back to work.
And now Abby Lincoln sings Brother Can You Spare a Dime? And then selections from The Line.
Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, and now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, gee, we looked swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went slogging through hell. I was the kid with the drum. They called me Al. It was Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Buddy, can you spare a
world's longest unemployment line, stretching from here all the way up to Union Square. We're hoping to have over 5,000 people representing the unemployed and giving voice to the voiceless. The call to action here is to get Congress and corporations to bring work back to America and put people to work.
So many of our jobs, as we all know, have been exported across the seas. They need to be re-imported to put Americans back to work.
We're out here along with others to make New Yorkers and all Americans aware that there are still 14 million unemployed Americans out there. And while businesses and many banks are making profits and threatening more layoffs, and we're asking the government to invest in jobs in this country.
In front of Congress right now, there are a number of job creation bills, and we really want them to take action on these instead of sitting on them and continuing to tweak them. We want to get them through. We also want them to pass the tax increases that are proposed on the 1% and on corporations to help pay for that activity.
This has been the greatness of America, that as one industry dies out, there's something else. We have lost that. We simply go across the seas, and whatever, you know, consumer products can be made, we're willing to let other countries be the producers of those products and simply ship them back here for Americans to buy.
We are standing in the longest unemployment line ever to be made, in New York at least.
If people get fired, they're often given a pink slip for their job, so we're standing up and for being fired.
it's still at the heart of the campaign. If politicians cannot address the fact that people who want to work can't find jobs to work and earn a decent living, then we're gonna hold them accountable.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.